I hope this message finds you well. You know, a friend of mine recently sent me a text with a verse from Philippians 2, verse 5. And in this verse it says, "Let the mind of Christ be your motivation." And truly, this is the heart of this message. I pray for all of us that we are motivated, that we navigate life according to the mind of Christ, according to his ways and his understanding. And that's the heart of my message today. The message is entitled Changing Gear. Now, I don't know what you're like with gears. I've got to be honest, I'm not about to start talking about car gears or anything like that. Like, I'm clueless. But I am going to talk about bicycle gears. So I've been riding a bicycle since I was probably about 2. I could honestly tell you whether or not the bicycles I had gears or not, because truth be told, I've never used them. So I don't know. They're just on the handlebar. I mean, most of the time, I probably thought my gears were the brakes, but okay, maybe not. So yeah, I haven't got an extensive knowledge when it comes to gears. But I then married my husband, Andy, who is a cycling enthusiast. And because he loves cycling so much, often a lot of our holidays have involved cycling. And, you know, I'm up for an adventure, so that's what we do. And we've recently, well, not recently, you know, time, but we went to our first holiday, cycling holiday, we went to Holland. And the Dutch bikes don't have gears. They tend to be single speed bikes because the terrain is completely flat. There is no need for gears. And so anyway, the holiday went well and we got back home and he was like, "Siobhan, you did so well. You know, I should have seen it really." But he was like, "I think we should do this again. I think we should cycle coast to coast." So we cycled the width of England, going from one coast to the other, going across the Lake District. And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I cycled Holland. Like, how bad can this be?" Anyway, so within the first couple of hours, let me tell you, bad. That's how bad it was. So we started cycling and Andy comes and cycles next to me. Now, I got to tell you, when I'm in pain, I'm like very, very quiet. When my husband's on a bicycle, he just like chats all the time. So he comes along and he's cycling next to me and he says, "Sweetie, are you okay?" And I gave him a look just to say, "No," but my voice said, "Yeah, I'm fine." But inside, "No, not at all." And he comes and cycles alongside me saying, "Are you sure you're okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." He says, "Just, I think you're in the wrong gear, honey." And I, "Nope, I'm fine. I'm in the right gear. Don't you worry about it." And a couple of hours go past and he comes back alongside me and he says, "Darling, I've been watching you for the last couple of hours and you haven't changed gear once." And so then I had to kind of go, "Okay, you found me out. I don't know how to use my gears. Like, I just have this one gear and it tends to just kind of be an all-rounder. It just kind of tends to work for everything that I need." And he just said, "Siobhan, I think you're stuck in a gear. And if you're going to navigate this terrain well, you're going to need to learn how to use your gears." And that right there is my message. I believe that God has given me a word in season, a word for us now. And we are in a season that is changing faster than any of us could ever have expected. Things are constantly changing. And in order for us to navigate this landscape well, we are going to have to learn how to change gear according to the landscape. And not just the external landscape, which is changing, but also our internal landscape. How do we feel? What is my mental health like? We have to take a look at both the external landscape and our internal landscape and choose a gear that brings both balance and a pace and a rhythm that's conducive to God. And so, honestly, I went on such a journey of learning how to use my gears. My question for some of us today is, I wonder if we are stuck in a gear. I want to read this verse to you, and it's taken from Isaiah 43:19. "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God is asking us to perceive what he is doing. In this time where we've had deserts, he's going to be bringing rivers. In a time where we've had wilderness and no way, he is making a way and he's asking us to perceive in this very changing season what he is doing. And in order for us to perceive it and respond effectively, we need to choose the correct gear. You know, choosing the right gear does two things. It allows you to respond effectively. And secondly, it allows you to maximize your efficiency. I don't know about you, but have you ever grown weary in doing good? I genuinely believe that our life is not meant to feel like that. I want to read what Jesus himself says in Matthew 11, verse 29. It says, "Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace." In order for us to select the right gear, I want to make this so practical. I don't want to leave that as some kind of theory or some kind of out there thought. I genuinely want to give you some tools that will allow you to practically navigate this very changing season so that you are fruitful and succeed in what God has called you to do. So this is what he says, walk with me. In order for us to change gears, we have to walk with Jesus. When we walk with him, it activates his wisdom. Matthew goes on to say that when we walk with him, we're to work with him. When we work with Jesus, we make a conscious shift to being more like him. And therefore, our decisions are shaped by the fact that we are now starting to follow his ways and his thoughts. It concludes in Matthew where it says, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. When we watch and learn, we can perceive and respond like Jesus would. Jesus had the incredible ability to change gear so well. There's a story where him and his disciples, they're actually trying to go for a time of rest. They've been ministering to lots of people. They've been journeying and traveling. And Jesus says, come away, we're going to have a time of rest. And as they start to journey to this place where they're going to rest, a crowd forms. And immediately Jesus, sensing the timing of things, shift gears. And they go from resting to actually the story that we know of feeding the 5,000. Jesus had an incredible ability to shift gears according to the landscape, both internally and externally. And I want us to be able to harness that. You know, it says in John 5:19, nothing of my own. I don't do anything of my own accord, but I only do what I see the Father doing. This is what Jesus is saying. This is how he had this unforced rhythms of grace, is that he only did what he saw the Father do. And so for us to be able to have an unforced rhythm of grace, for us to be able to choose the right gear, we need to do what we see Jesus doing. So I hope I've labored that point enough that genuinely we are in a season of change. And we're going to have to choose a gear, and it's not going to be the gear that you've had the whole of your life. It can't be this comfortable gear. It's going to have to be one that's in response to both external and internal landscape, what God is saying both in us and to us in a wider context. So with all that being said, I want to highlight a few gears that I think we really are going to have to understand, that we need to shift between these two gears far more smoothly than we have done in the past. And so I want to read to you Ecclesiastes 3. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. It goes on to say, there is a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. And it carries on. I think what the author is trying to tell us, that there is such a thing as timing. And when we choose the right gear, it allows us to respond with absolute timing. And we need to genuinely start taking that thought on board, that we need to allow God to metaphorically, if you like, come ride alongside us and start to teach us his ways as we walk with him, as we work with him, as we watch and learn. He wants to teach us the art of timing. and being able to respond effectively. I want to speak to you about particular gears that I think we can get stuck in, but I genuinely believe that God has laid it on my heart that these particular cogs, these particular gears, we need to be able to navigate smoothly between them so that we can actually navigate this season of change far more effectively. And the first one I want to speak to you about is work and rest. Now, I genuinely believe that this is a gear that we can get stuck in. And I don't know which side of the gear you get stuck in, but for some of us, we can get stuck in the work gear. And we just work, 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 work. And we kind of think that after, you know, at some point rest will come. Well, no, it needs to be a conscious shift. That's what gears are. We need to make that conscious decision to change gear. And we can't be dictated by our landscapes because they will be forever changing. And so we need to be far more directional in how we live life. And so we need to understand and read both the landscape externally as well as internally and understand when we need to work and when we need to change gear to resting. And we need to be able to shift between those two gears far more quickly and smoothly than we do. For others, you might be stuck in the gear of rest. And I'm sorry to break it to you, but if we are constantly resting, it stops being rest and it actually starts becoming something that we're stuck in. It starts to be stagnant. It starts to be laziness, if I dare say that. But we need to learn because we actually rest better when it's from a time of work. And we work better when it's from a platform of rest. And so we really need to be able to shift gear between those two positions far more readily than I think we do in the season to come. I also believe that we need to be able to navigate between inward and outward. One of our vision statements is that we are inwardly caring and outwardly reaching. And I genuinely believe that, again, we can get stuck in one of those cogs. We can get stuck in a position of just being outwardly caring. Well, the trouble with that is if you haven't stopped and started to be inwardly caring, it affects how you reach out. And so we have to be able to navigate between those two. We have to be inwardly caring and looking after our spiritual health and looking after our souls and looking after our bodies and then move to being outwardly reaching and outwardly caring. And we have to navigate between those two smoothly and effectively rather than just choosing one gear and thinking that that's going to be it. I see too often that people who have spent months and months and lifetimes just making sure that they're okay, but never being outwardly caring. We really do. To be doing both of those well, we need to navigate between them effectively to maximize our efficiency of doing both. I believe a crucial one for us is being able to move between the position of listening and action. Honestly, in the season that we're in, the ability to move between those two positions and doing them readily and succinctly and quickly is so important. You only have to look at what's the conversation we're having at the moment about equality and racism. And genuinely, I honestly believe we have to start with a position of listening to our brothers and sisters who are black and of color and hearing their experiences. But it can't stop there. We can't stop at a position where we just listen. We need to listen because that listening will hopefully inform how we respond and move to action effectively. I genuinely believe that we need to reflect inward and ask ourselves that question, is there any bias within me that does not uphold equality? And we need to correct that. And we need to listen to God's voice as He steers us. But we have to move to action. It is not enough to say that we are not a racist, but we have to become to a position where we are anti-racism. We need to look and say that, how can I change the systemic bias that exists in our society? And we can only do that when we move and navigate those positions from listening to action, from action to listening. And we need to do that cycle. And this is a gear I believe in, not just in this subject, but genuinely in the landscape that we find ourselves in. We need to do this far more effectively. We need to know how to use this gear. Lastly, I believe that we need to focus on a gear of holding on and letting go. You know, on a daily basis, there are things that you need to hold on to. The truth of God, encouragement from friends. But there are also lots and lots of things that get filtered to us that we need to let go. And I think often our journey is, it's inhibited. It's made more difficult because we are holding on to things that we were never meant to hold on. And in order to travel more freely, we need to understand and move and change gears from holding on to letting go and understanding when we're to do either of those things. And we do that, again, by walking with Jesus, working with him, watching and learning what he does. What did Jesus hold on to? What did he let go of? And so we need to be like him. I pray that the mindset of Christ would be our motivation. You know, I see this more than ever, that we need to learn how to change gears and do it quickly. You only have to look at how parents have now had to become teachers. And just that gives you a glimpse of what is required in the season to come. So we've got parents in the morning being mom and dad, and, you know, they're making breakfast, and then all of a sudden school starts. The context not changed, but school starts, and they change gear from being a parent to being a teacher. And even in the midst of a lesson, whether it's maths or English or whatever it is, you know, they might have fallen out with their sibling, or they actually want a snack, or they've lost interest, and then they have to change gear into being a parent. And then lunchtime comes, and they're going from parent, from teacher to parent, and, you know, it, and so it goes on. And within the same day, they have changed gear from parent to teacher. And I believe this is a glimpse of what we need to be able to do to navigate the terrain that lies ahead of us. And I really hope this message brings you encouragement that it will equip you to travel the days that lie ahead of us well. I want to read you this verse, and it's taken from 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. So roll up your sleeves. Put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gifts that are coming when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil, doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then. You do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. God said, "I am holy. You be holy." I could read this verse again and again. I just love it. When I read it the first time, the things that stood out to me was a future in God. I don't know if you'd ever even thought about that. Did you know you could have a future in God? And then it says, put your mind in gear. There is a way of thinking. Remember, we started this message with saying, let the mindset of Christ be your motivation. God's going to help you to think in such a way that allows you to respond effectively and to maximize your giftings, your skills, your talents, and your energy. So put your mind in gear. Don't slip back into those old grooves. I love it. It says, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. I don't know if that gets you excited, but it certainly does me. But then I kind of think, holiness, oh my goodness, God is saying, I am holy, you be holy. Now, the truth is, without Jesus, none of us could ever attain holiness. But it is a gift given to us when we receive him. We also receive all of who he is, and his attributes start to become manifest in our life. I want to ask you this question: have you ever thought that your future could be in God? You know, when my husband came and rode alongside me when I was tackling that hill in the lakes, I had a choice to make. I could choose whether or not I allowed him to to impart his knowledge to me, to inform me, to give me wisdom, and to respond. And honestly, I'm so pleased I did, because it genuinely allowed me to navigate the terrain. It allowed me not only to get up that mountain, but to finish that journey. And I know that God would love to have that opportunity for you to be able to say to him, yes, come and ride alongside me and share your wisdom, your mind, your ways with me, so that it can shape my life, so that it would be energetic and blazing with holiness. I just thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak life to you. And I want to ask you, just leave you with a question that I pray that you would ponder over and ask God, Lord, am I stuck in a gear? Lord, where do I need to change gears so that I can be more effective and respond with good timing? God bless you.